The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
And hello, everybody. This is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. We have a great show today. I've got a special guest, a good friend, a fellow that I met several years ago in Charleston. Name is Mike Sprouse. He's CEO and founder of the Sprouse Marketing Group. Besides being a successful entrepreneur and a business leader, he's an accomplished author. He wrote a book, The Greatness Gap, which details his personal strategies to maximize one's professional career. The Sprouse Group is based in Chicago, and it provides their clients with a deep expertise in all facets of marketing, and they help their clients boost sales, build their brands, and grow exponentially. Now, Mike was to have been my guest in early July, but his brand new little baby girl thought otherwise as to what Mike's schedule will be. So, you know, those of you who have children know that our children determine our schedules, and his daughter decided she would start training him early on. So Mike did miss our first show, but we're glad to have him back. We're going to be discussing today a number of important topics that will include Mike's experience and journey from college to corporate America and how that prepared him for the challenges of becoming a successful author, entrepreneur, and respected business leader. We're going to discuss Mike's successful athletic career as a professional tennis player and how sports played a key role in his business career. And then finally, we're going to discuss with Mike what he learned when he decided to start his own business. So let me give you a little brief overview of Mike's bio, and then we'll get Mike in here. As I said, Mike is the founder and CEO of the Sprouse Marketing Group that provides businesses with expertise in all facets of marketing. And as I said before, they help their clients boost sales and build their brands. The company's core businesses include e-commerce consulting, traffic and search engine optimization, you know, SEO, branding and creative design, and marketing strategy. Previously, Mike, and I love this part, was chief marketing officer for one of the largest privately owned internet marketing companies in the world, Epic Media Group. He published a book, The Greatness Gap, which I mentioned before, which details his personal strategies, which allowed him to maximize his personal career. And Mike was also senior vice president of marketing at Playboy. He was the youngest senior executive in the company's history at that time. He attended the University of Notre Dame. I think had Lou Holtz write the foreword for his book, and he graduated with honors with a degree in accounting. He grew up in Fairfield, Connecticut, and lives with his wife and brand new daughter and their two dogs in Chicago. So, Mike, welcome to the show, and I appreciate you being here today.
Chris, it's great to be with you, and great to be talking to everybody.
Great. Now, listen, here are the rules, everybody. You can call in 866-472-5790. Or if you are bored or bashful about hearing your voice on the radio, then email me at chris@chrisruisi.com, and we will get all of your answers to the questions you asked. Plus, I'll give you a free copy, a signed copy of my book, Step Up and Play Big, which you can go to Amazon and buy, and that's my shameless commercial. So, Mike, let's get started. You know, first, how's your baby daughter? What's her name?
Her name is Ruby, R-U-B-Y.
Ruby. Yep. Okay. And she's doing well, and your wife, everybody's good?
Everybody is great. She is just past the 4-week mark, and like we've talked about, I'm fighting sleep deprivation a little bit here, but that's probably nothing new to many of the listeners out there. So it's great. It's been really exciting and a great journey so far.
Well, it's going to be fun. Take lots of pictures. They grow up fast, let me tell you. They do. Boy, I tell you. So let's get started. You had mentioned that you know, there's the sports business connection is an extremely interesting one, and that you believe there was a huge crossover between sports and business in terms of discipline, work, teamwork, confidence. You were a tennis player. Let's get down into the details of how your preparation to be an athlete eventually came back and benefited you as you became an entrepreneur and a business leader.
Sure. I think really if you trace it back all the way to the scholastic years and high school years and through college, and I turned professional after college for a few years after that, I think regardless of what level you achieve in sports, if you do a sport or pursue a passion like sports to some extent, you learn certain skills along the way. And I think some of the ones are a little bit maybe cliche at this point, like time management, discipline, teamwork. I think everybody understands those. But there are really a couple of things that I think sports taught me that I've been able to bring to the business world in the last 15 years. The first one for sure is confidence. I know that's a topic, Chris, that you've written about quite a bit, especially recently. But really in sports, you lose a lot. And even the best athletes sometimes lose more than they win, or they miss more shots than they make. And a 300 hitter in baseball or softball is failing more than he or she is succeeding. And I think the average person without the sports background has a little bit of difficulty handling failure kind of over and over again, whereas I think having a sports background or athletes in general, I think, can always draw from that experience and a belief in knowing that failure can be a fleeting thing, not a lasting thing.
Yeah, failure will never kill you.
Right, exactly. Yep. And so I think as you translate that over to business, I think many business owners or new entrepreneurs or managers will tell you that there's also a lot of failure, or there's things that happen that I think would be kind of put into the negative category, like making a bad hire or a marketing campaign that doesn't work, or any, you know, number of things that could maybe go wrong in a given day. And I think having the confidence to sort of dust off and try again is really what sets you apart, and that longevity, that belief that what you're doing is sustainable and important. And I think sports really taught me that, and I've been able to carry that with me for the last, you know, 16 years since my sports career.
Okay. Interesting discussion, Mike, that you bring up about failure, mistakes, things of that nature. And I draw the analogy to what I often call, you know, looking at your game films. You know, you're a professional athlete. You were a professional athlete. I'm sure you still participate, play tennis. And I'm sure during your college career, there were times where you might have looked back if someone videotaped one of your matches so you could see what you did right, what you didn't do correctly, and make adjustments from match to match. And what I like to do when I work with my clients is I talk about looking at their game films, like most successful teams do. You look at what took place in one game to learn from it to prepare for the next game. And I always ask folks to, after a completion of a project, especially if it didn't go well, but even if it went well, to sit back, take 10, 15 minutes and ask themselves four questions that, based upon what did take place and the results achieved, if I had to redo that project or assignment, what would I start doing, stop doing, do more of, or do less of? Is that part of how you learn from mistakes and failure, Mike?
It absolutely is, and I totally agree with what you just said. And I think having that constant review is also something that is inherent with athletic mentality, basically, because after every match, after every game, you always, like you said, you see the videotape or you run through in your head certain points or certain games or what have you, and you look at what you did well and you look at what you might improve on in the future, and you're able to use that as education for the next day or for the next week, for the next presentation or the next speech. And I think that's incredibly important to learn from what's already happened and have that guide you to something better the following day, the following week, following month, etc. I take that same mentality really every day because I am kind of a compartmental person, so I put, you know, chunks of my time into compartments, and yep. I always carve out every morning kind of a review of the previous day.
That's so critical.
Mondays I actually do a review of the previous week, and I almost do an evaluation of myself. I'm not evaluating my team necessarily, but I'm doing an evaluation of myself and what I need to do for the next week going forward and trying to make things better. And and so I think I was fortunate to learn that early on, but I don't think it's a I don't think it's a nature thing. I think it can be nurtured, and I think it can be grown and learned.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the whole, you know, what you're talking about is you've developed your rituals, things that you do consistently every day and things of that nature. And you're right, you can learn these things. But for you boys and girls that are listening out there today, it requires you to want to change and to accept the fact that when you first start doing this, you're going to feel uncomfortable. But your success is your ability to get comfortable being uncomfortable and to push through it. Mike, The Greatness Gap, what made you write that book?
Well, The Greatness Gap for me, just to be honest, when I wrote it, I had always envisioned it being a one-off. I wrote it when I was 35 years old. I'm almost 40. I'll be 40 in September. And for some reason, I've always looked at my entire life in sort of segments of 40, and I don't know why that is. I just do, but it's like the first 40 years, the second 40 years, hopefully, and anything after that, hopefully, is gravy. And I always said to myself, you know, I really want to write a book, you know, before the age of 40, and it seemed like the right time. And so when I wrote it, I would have written it, but probably never published it if I didn't get Lou Holtz to write my foreword.
Okay.
And Lou Holtz, as you mentioned in the intro, I went to Notre Dame, and I don't want to harp on that because we've gotten some bad press this week. So people like to pile on a little bit. But but having that sort of endorsement really gave me the green light that what I had to say was good and helpful to people, in addition to being sort of a catharsis for me. And in the book, I really wanted to outline the principles that I used in my own personal life. I guess you could call them like personal pillars, and how those really translated and how I used those into professional success later on in life. And so, for instance, I have a chapter on the importance of relationships. I have a chapter on the importance of goal setting and how to set goals properly, short and long term. I have another section on how to conduct yourself in business. So those types of things that I learned really on a personal level early, and I used just through the course of the rest of my life up to this point.
Now, the book is called The Greatness Gap, Personal Strategies for Professional Success, and you can get it at Amazon. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we got about a little less than a minute left, Mike. What would be the biggest takeaway from someone who reads that book?
I think that most people, I would say most people, a heavy majority, don't rely on their own experiences quite enough to guide them going forward. And so I think a lot of people believe things that they experienced in high school or in college or early in their careers or being an entrepreneur, they don't leverage or trust what they've gone through already as informative enough to help them make decisions going forward. And that's really what I wanted to highlight with the book.
Great. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the first segment. That went real quick. So I want you to stay there. My special guest, Mike Sprouse of the Sprouse Group Marketing Group. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, we're back to segment number two with my guest, Mike Sprouse, Sprouse Marketing Group in Chicago. And we were talking with Mike in the first segment about his career as an athlete, his time at Notre Dame, and his book, The Greatness Gap, and what some of the big takeaways were from the book. So in this segment, we want to talk a little bit more about Mike's entrepreneurship experience, and then we're going to move a little bit into what the Sprouse Group does and what you can learn from them. As a reminder again, the call-in number is 866-472-5790. And again, you can email me at chrisruisi.com. And for those of you out there who are on Facebook, you can like me at facebook.com/coachchrisruisi. So, Mike, you started a new business. And how did you know when it was time? What were the first couple of steps that you thought about? And what were some of the mistakes and pitfalls that you encountered along the way?
Sure. I had spent, after my tennis career, I'd spent 15 years really in the corporate world, various high-level CMO, SVP marketing type jobs, worked for Playboy for 5 years, for Epic Media Group for 5 years, and previous to that, the Danbury Mint for 5 years, which is a direct marketing company. And I think for me, in terms of your question as to when it was the right time, well, it was honestly when I realized I didn't want to work for anyone anymore, so that's kind of the honest answer.
That's good.
But the secondary answer to that is when I realized I had the ability to educate others more than I was doing. And it was much more of like a proactive mindset than it was a reactive mindset like so many employees and executives have when it comes to educating. And so it's not to say that I ever thought I could stop learning, because I don't believe that, but it's just the proportion flipped, and I knew the exact time that I felt I was ready to educate other people more than I was doing at the time. And so I think, frankly, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility that comes when you get to that point in your mind, but I did get there, and I just couldn't discount that any longer.
Okay. What were some of the things you wish you could have done different?
Well, I don't really look back when I started my company, which was 2.5 years ago, by the way. I don't look back and say, I wish I had done that. I wish I had done this. But I would say that the biggest thing, there's really two major things to think about. The first is funding. And okay. I think for a lot of people, they're told that if you have a great concept or a great product or service, then the money will come. And I never believed that. And I would say, especially now, that's never in a million years can you sit there and believe that. But I do I do believe very strongly that funding, money, cash flow, and a real business plan out of the gates is absolutely, you know, number one A, number one B, number one C priorities. And so it's really before you start, you've got to have your house in order. You've got to make sure that your business plan is rock solid, that others that you respect have reviewed your business plan, and that you're really ready to start in that way.
Okay. I have two questions. Let's take the first one. When you say you're ready to start, I'm assuming mentally and emotionally when you talk about that.
Yeah.
What were some of the mental and emotional transitions you had to make from corporate world to entrepreneurship?
Well, it's interesting because I think if you are in a job right now and working for somebody, I think you're in the best position possible to actually start a business. And
okay.
it sounds a little counterintuitive, but a lot of successful businesses actually start as quote unquote side businesses and or things that people do in their free time. And I think if you're a responsible employee or executive that's gainfully employed, it does leave you time outside the corporate world to work on something else. And, you know, I think time management is obviously key and prioritizing what you do in your free time are important. But I do believe that a majority of your life occurs outside of your day job. And I think you can still get a very good, comfortable paycheck and develop your idea. And that's what I did. Really, that's what I did. I mean, I had my, you know, compartmentalized portions of time during the week where Monday through Friday, I'd wake up at 6 o'clock. I'm at work at 7. I'm home at 7 p.m. I work on my new business plan for 2 or 3 hours. And then Saturday, Sunday, I basically carve chunks of time out of my social schedule to do this other work on my new business. And so I feel like it's really the best of both worlds if you are actually an employee and you want to start your own business, because it gives you that cushion a little bit from a dollars and cents standpoint.
Okay, so it's having that clarity, if you will, as to what, you know, a vision, if you will, as to what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and then having the passion to make that vision a reality. As you said, you found the time to work on this, to position yourself that when you decided to make the leap, it wasn't as scary as it normally is for some folks. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair, because I think, you know, think about what people do on weekends or their downtime, you know, marathon runners or people that like to go biking or any other hobby that people have. It's just a question of if you want to start your own business, then you replace your hobby with the new business and you just use the time differently. And I know it's hard to give up certain things, but sometimes you just have to make sacrifices if you're really passionate about starting a new business and really getting going. And I happen to be passionate about the new business at the time. So,
yeah, well, you know, passion without a vision is like, you know, trying to light a fire with damp wood. It flickers for a little bit, but then it goes out.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, well, last question on the entrepreneurship part. You mentioned that you counsel people to have a real business plan. What would be the top 3 to 4 components that would make it a real business plan?
Well, I think that the top component is something that most everybody does pay attention to very well, which is the actual product or service that you're offering.
Yep. Yep.
And so I think that's obviously first and foremost, but I don't think that's anything earth-shattering. Where I really do believe people don't give enough credence to is how you get it out there and market it, because our world is so cluttered today that it's very hard for a new business to stand out properly or to, you know, raise a flag and say, hey, I'm over here, and invite people into the community and learn about the new product or service. And so I think at that point, it's a very robust marketing plan that needs to be bolted into the overall business plan for whatever product or service is being offered. And I think that's where I see a lot of people, just in my daily job, that's where I see a lot of people falling down. They've got a great idea, they've got a great vision, and then they don't know how to execute it and how to get people involved. And so that's obviously what I do, but I also see that in business plans. I'd say probably 8 times out of 10.
So the this is a good transition into what you do in the Sprouse Group. This is a dopey question, but I'll ask it anyway. How critical is it for that business owner to understand what their big differentiator is before they really go hog wild into it?
I think it's important, but I do think it's becoming more and more difficult to be a differentiator.
Really?
And
okay.
I do. I think, you know, we can probably thank social media for some of this, but in general, I'll say that it's just the amount of information, the amount of clutter, the amount of things and promotions being pushed at people. You do have to have that one differentiator or those two differentiators established. But it's also really an art, and it's kind of part art, part science in terms of actually getting people to act and act how you want them to. And obviously, you know, I saw some statistic recently about people's attention spans, being dramatically decreased in the last 10 years. And I think probably from personal experience, at least for myself, that's probably true, because you're having to process more information. You're having to process more, just more stuff on a daily basis than ever before. And so I think whereas, let's say 10 years ago, you had, you know, your differentiators and you had those one or two things that really set you out from the competition, and it was fairly easy to stand out in a crowded marketplace. Well, now it's jam-packed. And there are other people that are saying, I've got one or two differentiators, and I'm over here. And, you know, you've just got this critical mass of information. And the key is, how do you get through that and get your message to the intended people? And I really think that's maybe not quite as important as establishing your top differentiators, but it's a close second.
So let's jump into the Sprouse Group. Is what we're talking about one of the more important things and services you provide to your clients?
It really is. You know, for us, it's four big things. And marketing has probably 30 different prongs underneath it now, if you count offline marketing and online marketing. But really, for me, it's four different things. It's your strategy, which would be a part of a business plan or something that we work with people on after their business plan's been hatched. It's branding, design, and strategy. It's e-commerce and online consulting. And it's search engines, because for us, search engines are critically important and will be for the foreseeable future. So it's really those four prongs. We dabble in public relations because that's important, and especially social media is now being used a lot as a public relations tool. But we really only do that insofar as it relates to managing your brand and managing your persona nowadays. So really it's around those four really, really key things: marketing strategy, branding, the whole digital marketplace between e-commerce and online, and search has its own little separate prong.
Okay. What makes a client come to you for help?
I think it's either being stuck, if they've been in business for a little bit of time and knowing that they've got a great product or service, and they're just kind of like, this should be doing better. And what do I do? You know, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And we're really good at helping people, business owners, and big brands figure that out. And then I would say the second one is we do get involved pretty heavily with people in the early stages. So as they're starting to hatch their business plan, we do get involved and provide those marketing strategies to them that can be used as part of their plan, so that they don't have to feel that they launched their new company or their new business without knowing what to do.
Okay. Got about a half a minute left. And is there a particular type of company or industry that you focus on, or your approach works pretty much anywhere?
Well, I purposely positioned us to be big enough to work with really big brands, and there are several that we work with, but also small enough to cater to smaller businesses. So the size of the client really is not a factor for us, nor is the industry. And I purposely wanted to position us that way because I just feel like the problems or the challenges that people face in marketing nowadays really runs the gamut. Whether you're a small business, you know, pizza shop owner in New Jersey, or you are a major fashion brand, everybody has the same issues right now.
Okay, well, great. That's an excellent point to end this segment on. So stay there, and we'll be back in 90 seconds. And I got a couple of folks who have emailed some questions in.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back with my guest, Mike Sprouse of the Sprouse Marketing Group. And having a good discussion now. We're getting into the marketing, branding, and all that important stuff that you entrepreneurs and business owners out there just need to know. As a reminder, the phone number is 866-472-5790, and it's Chris at chrisruisi.com if you want to email me a question. And feel free to go to my website, chrisruisi.com, to learn more about what I do and about my book, Step Up and Play Big. And, of course, and we'll mention this again at the end, we want you to go to Mike's website. It's the sprousegroup.com to learn more about him and his company. So, Mike, we have two folks who email some questions in. So let's take the first one. The first one is from Kevin in Sarasota, Florida. And Kevin, email me your address, and I will mail you a signed copy of my book. He asks, hey, Mike, what's the most common mistake people make or omission in developing their marketing strategy?
Well, Kevin, I would say that the mistake that I see most of the time is too heavy of a reliance on one marketing channel. So it sounds a little cliche to think of marketing like a portfolio, a diverse portfolio, but really that's the best way to go right now in today's world. I mean, think about all the ways that consumers or your audience consumes information or gets information. It could be on any number of mobile devices, websites, TV, direct mail, phone, all of the traditional channels and all of the new channels. And I think what I see a lot is kind of a lack of a comprehensive view of how to deploy marketing tactics. So I would say it's diversity and finding out, trying to utilize all the channels out there and finding out the channels that work and the channels that don't work early on. Like I always tell people, it's great to test things and great to test certain marketing channels, but if I fail, I'd rather fail quick.
So I think
the answer to that question is kind of a diversity across marketing channels.
Yeah, it's like I often use the example of an 8-cylinder car. If one of those 8 cylinders doesn't work properly, you got 7 others to get you home.
right. Yep.
You know. Okay. Well, here's a question I always get periodically, and this one's from John from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, actually. John wants to know what percentage of my revenue should be dedicated to my marketing budget.
Good question, and I'll stop short of saying it depends on your business and your industry, but I think a general rule of thumb for new businesses or less established businesses or brands, it's a little bit higher percentage of your revenue, probably somewhere in the range of 15 to 25% on average, and then for businesses that have been around for a few years, that percentage is a little bit lower. I'd say probably in the 10 to 12% range.
Okay, because they've established themselves, they've got a foundation.
Yeah, it's a little bit more about maintenance, and you still want to test if you're a little bit more established, and you still want to do some things that might uncover some new channels for you, but it's just the urgency or the amount of testing is a little bit lower than with a new business.
Okay, so let's get, same thing to you, send me your address, and we will sends you a signed copy of my book. Email that to me. Thanks for the questions. We talked about earlier in the last segment the 4 pieces of your of the Sprouse Group, the marketing strategy, branding, e-commerce, SEO, and so forth. Let's talk about marketing strategy. What would be the top 3 factors a business owner or an entrepreneur needs to consider when creating their strategy, Mike?
Well, I think the first thing is really the right expectations. And I think a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs make the mistake of either discounting marketing so much that they forget about it, or believing that marketing is going to be the be-all and end-all, which is not true either. And so I think it's really trying to develop the right expectations about what marketing can do on top of a great product or service. And so that's the first thing. Really, the second thing around strategy, like I said, is diversifying, because there are so many ways that marketing messages can be received nowadays, and you never know what mobile device people are using, what websites they're on, what TV channels they're watching, et cetera, et cetera. You don't know at any given time how people are consuming information. And so being able to have a really diverse set of strategies and then micro strategies around each of those individual prongs of marketing, so to speak, I think is really, really crucial. And that's really what we focus on is talking to business owners, talking to companies and saying, you know, what can we do in each of these individual marketing budgets that then rolls up into a broader solid marketing strategy.
Okay. You know, I often, in fact, I've sometimes even participated in it, and I'm not even sure I explain it the right way. But from your experience, Mike, how do you differentiate between what is marketing and what is branding?
Well, I actually believe that branding is a part of marketing.
Okay.
So I look at marketing as the ultimate umbrella. And underneath marketing, you've got branding, you've got public relations, you've got online marketing, offline marketing, and then within each of those 4 prongs, you've got several tentacles, so to speak, beneath those. So I see marketing as anything that is related to communications. So branding is communications, because you're trying to develop a concept or some sort of a notion that you're getting across to people. And good brands do that, because you look at a logo or you look at a tagline, and you just right away know what it is or what they're trying to do. And so in some way, anything that is communications to your audience fits under marketing.
Okay. Interesting couple of points there. I'll try to work backwards here. Audience, how do you find out where your ideal audience is, and then what's the best way to it was the old discussion of needs and wants, has the best way to communicate how you you are the answer to that, that solves their challenge.
Well, finding your audience, there are expensive ways and there are non-expensive ways. And so let's focus on the non-expensive ways. The non-expensive ways, really the beauty right now of having any type of foothold on the internet is data. And the ability to capture data in a quick and robust way. I go back to my days when I was in direct mail. My very first job after tennis was, like I said, with the Danbury Mint. And they are, for people that aren't familiar with the Danbury Mint, they were kind of on par with like the Bradford Exchange or the Franklin Mint, direct marketer of collectibles, and they did all their marketing through mail. And I remember we used to have to provide the business plan for a new product. We had to do the product development. We had to do a mail plan. We had to get the letters written, all this other stuff, right? And it took forever. I mean, it was basically like 4 months from product conception to mailing, and then you had to wait another 3 weeks for the mail to come back and see if your product actually worked. Well, the beauty of the internet nowadays and what Google especially has done with their analytics for websites and for web owners, and even the data is very, very much out there for people to see publicly, you can find out the age of your visitors. You can find out, you know, the geography of your visitors. You can find out so many things just very easily nowadays within probably, you know, a matter of days, really, as opposed to months before. So I think it's really a question of having a data strategy when you're figuring out how to target an audience. The data is all there. You just need to find out or figure out how to condense it all and put it into something that's a manageable, manageable data set to help you make decisions.
Okay, let me see if I can repeat what you just said to me in a way that I understand it, which I'm not sure if you can make it that simple. Is your messaging has to be able to drive people, for example, to some place, your website, where you begin to collect that data to use in future plans. Is that right?
That's correct, and but you can also even get that off social media. So if you have if you have a Facebook page or a Twitter account or LinkedIn, especially, you know, you can find statistics out about who's visiting your business page or your product or service. You can find out demographic information, and then with market opportunities, just outside your own product or service, figuring out the opportunity and the potential audience. There are some great companies out there that issue data every month, like ComScore or eMarketer, or there's maybe one or two others, but those are really the two big ones that I look at. And you can find out information about potential audiences as opposed to what you see just coming to your website or your social media page. So the data, it's almost intimidating how much data is out there, but if you know where to look and pick out the pieces that are relevant, it really results in actionable stuff.
Yeah, no, we've become so adept at technology and social media tools that we've become overwhelmed, as you said, by the data.
Yeah,
I know when you and I chatted before you came on the show, or agreed to come on the show, you mentioned that you're a big user of LinkedIn.
Yeah.
How have you found that to be helpful to you in your business?
Well, you know, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with social media in general.
I understand. I completely understand.
I think social media has a really important place in marketing, and this is another one that fits under the umbrella of marketing. I believe that within each social media platform, there needs to be a separate strategy. So there needs to be a Facebook strategy. There needs to be a Twitter strategy, a LinkedIn strategy, and so on and so forth, YouTube strategy, so on and so forth. Yep. For me personally, I have found that Facebook is very much a personal resource for me and most businesses at this point.
Yep.
Twitter is a hybrid of personal and professional, and LinkedIn is almost entirely best utilized, as far as we can tell, for business and professional contacts and relationships.
And, biz to biz, yep.
Yeah, and so I've really used LinkedIn, you know, not only to help build my company the last couple of years, but in advising other companies to build their businesses as well. But LinkedIn, I think, is a tremendous network. It's a tremendous source of new potential leads, and it's also a great way to just keep in touch with people, because LinkedIn profiles have a 4 times greater update or status update volume than the other social networks do, meaning that people go in and update their profiles at 4 times greater rate than they do the other social networks.
All right, it's always updated.
The data is very, very recent and very current, and I like that, because people change jobs and do different things much more frequently nowadays.
Okay, great. Well, that's a great way to end this segment. So everybody stay there. I'm with Mike Sprouse here, the Sprouse Marketing Group, and we'll be back in 90 seconds.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruiz coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruiz. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruiz.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruiz. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And welcome back. We're at the beginning of our last segment today with Mike Sprouse of the Sprouse Marketing Group. Mike's a real cool guy, and I met Mike a couple of years back in Charleston at a conference. We use the same publisher for our books, and we've been having a great conversation on marketing strategy, on branding. Mike has laid it out for us, how he sees marketing as the big umbrella, and everything else that kind of falls underneath it, being branding, PR, online, offline marketing. And we ended the last segment with a discussion on social media. So, and Mike's use of LinkedIn and I agree with him, as LinkedIn being the best source for business-to-business, professional-type contacts and nurturing relationships along those lines. Last segment here is a little shorter than the other three. So, Mike, let's talk about what you do in the whole area of SEO for your clients.
SEO is something that has really evolved quite a bit over the last 15 years. So initially it started out as something where Google could set up a certain set of algorithms to go out and spider every single website on the internet. And those algorithms in 1999 were very rudimentary. And what happened then is you had very savvy people, webmasters or people that worked on websites, able to sort of game the system. And have websites ranking for keywords or search queries in Google that were almost unrelated to the subject matter of the given website. SEO has evolved immensely, and I think this is the biggest growth area that people forget about nowadays. For us, we see this as probably, behind email, the number two business driver, both for new business as well as repeat business on the internet. It's a very big deal, because whether you're on your mobile device, is sitting on your couch with an iPad, or you're sitting at your computer at work on a desktop, emotionally, our first instinct is to search for something. When you're trying to take a vacation, for instance, the first thing you do is, well, I'm going to find out reviews. I'm going to see what other people are saying about this resort or this destination. And you go to Google a lot of times first, and then you find your way over to TripAdvisor or something like that. But it almost always starts with some sort of I have to search for XYZ. I have to search for information. And 94% of people, before they make a purchase, seek out some other source of information, and most of that comes from Google or Yahoo or Bing. So for us, we put a lot of stock into our SEO consultancy, and we think that it's a really big area for businesses to stand out, and not a lot of people do it right because they just don't know how, or they've been consumed with how to make social media work, and so they sort of forget about SEO. But for us, we've seen some clients have great returns with SEO. And just to make it really basic for everybody, for those that don't understand what SEO is when you go to Google and you type in a search term for, let's say, buy online DVDs, and you hit enter, most likely you're probably going to see Netflix show up first in the search results. And so the act of making your business or website show up in those search results is what we're talking about with SEO.
Right. I've heard that you want to, your best chances of someone taking action to come visit you, and I'm not probably saying it correctly, is if you pop up on, what, in the first 10 spots on page one?
Yeah, so the rule of thumb for everybody is if you're not in the first two pages or the first 20 results of search, you're basically not going to be found. Some 98% of clicks happen on those first two pages of results, and then a majority of those happen on the very first page of results. And the reason why it's so important for businesses is because you have people that if you optimize your website and your business properly, you have people that are actively looking for the product or service or a like product or service to what you're offering. And it's a great source of potential new business from people who maybe didn't know you existed previously.
Okay. Yeah, I don't understand all the particulars of it, but I know that it's critically important. And I've been told that the more data you put out there, be a blog, articles, things of that nature, increase the possibility of the search engines finding you, and which I guess increases your standing in the search results. Is that correct?
In general, that's correct. And if you, for instance, if you do a search, or if any of your listeners do a search on their own name, for instance, most likely the results that pop up first in Google are going to be a Facebook page, a Twitter page, a LinkedIn profile, maybe a personal blog. The reason why those pop up so much and are right there at the top is because of what you described, which is relevance, because there is a lot of content, or there's a profile with a lot of different words, or a profile that mentions the person's name quite a bit. And really what Google is doing is they're spidering every website on the internet, but they're looking for relevancy. And so if they see a word or a term or a phrase on a page and they see it a few times, but not too many times, then they say, okay, this must be relevant. And this must be ranked 1, 2, or 3 in search results. And so that's why the social networks, they've got so much relevancy because everybody uses them. And that's why they're ranked highly. But when you're talking about your own business or your website, having that content and having that long form content is really important, like you said.
Okay. Well, we're winding down here. We've got about 2 minutes left. Mike, what would be, you know, from your perspective today as a great guest, what would be the biggest takeaway you think someone should have today from listening in?
I would say, since marketing is what I do and it's been my profession for a lot of years now, I would say the biggest thing to take away is not throw out everything you used to know about marketing, but kind of just be open-minded about different ways of doing things at this point, because there's so much new technology and there's so many new things happening on social media, and there's just so much stuff out there, quote-unquote stuff, that marketing's changed. And, I was doing marketing before the internet really took a great hold, and so I've kind of seen the before and after at this point.
Yep.
And there's just a lot of adapting that people need to do, and I think it's as important as ever at this point. So,
okay, well, I appreciate it. We're coming close, about a minute left. Mike, give us your website address again.
Sure. You can find us at www.thesprousegroup.com, and Sprouse is spelled S as in Sam, P as in Peter, R-O-U-S-E. And my Twitter handle is Mike Sprouse, and those are probably the two best ways to get a hold of me.
All right. Well, this has been a great show. Mike, I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of you who have been listening with us. And as usual, our engineers extraordinaire will have a recorded version of the show up on my Voice America webpage within the next 24 or so hours. And again, get out there and go find my book, Step Up and Play Big, by Chris Ruisi. That's me. And it's that time for you to think about what you're going to do today to go out and step up and play big and make something happen. I'll see you all again next week when we're going to be talking about sales. So have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.